Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Now, listen, they want me to say hello, welcome to the James Whale Best Bits of Tonight's show, which you can hear every night, Monday to Friday, on Talk Radio from 7 till 10. But I said, wouldn't it be best to call it the Worst of Whale? So have a listen, see what you think.
The James Whale Show.
Come praise the whale
on Talk Radio.
Let's talk to our first guest, Paul Griffiths, President of the Police Superintendents Association. Paul, good evening to you, sir.
Good evening.
I'm tempted to say, everybody, look up Blair Peach and see whether that worries them or not.
Well, I mean, in reference to the risks that officers have to face, clearly there's a lot of challenges out there at the moment. We're obviously trying to police and support the whole country through the pandemic. We've got protests going on in terms of clear divisions in our society around race, discrimination, bias, etc. You know, and we're trying to find a way through all this to allow for peaceful protest on all parties, but facing ever daily yeah. risks.
But they don't want it.
We can face.
This is not new. This is something that somebody said. Oh God, this has always gone on amongst young people who suddenly think they've discovered something new. You know, mostly we get on. I think we've been getting on as a society better now than any other time I can remember, whether the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s or whatever.
Well, I mean, there's certainly a good relationship, for example, the police have with the communities. But every now and again, we can't be complacent about it because every now and again, there's something that rises that causes tension, etc., and causes us to have to police these demonstrations and protest marches, etc. So it's a real challenge for us to obviously allow people to have their peaceful protest, but recognising some of the sort of deep divisions that can sometimes occur within communities.
But you can't, before we talk about what happened in Hackney, because I am concerned about what may or may not happen in the capital at the weekend, as I'm sure you are, the police cannot pretend that they'll sort of bow down and allow the mob to rule. You can't do that.
No, I mean, it's part of our role is to uphold law and order. And it's a fine balance at times between upholding law and order and allowing peaceful protest. And, you know, we have to find that fine line. And it's a judgment call. Sometimes the senior commanders have to make those decisions within minutes or seconds.
Yeah.
And there's officers there right at the front line who are trying to make and appease situations. And suddenly, very quickly, they can change into very volatile and dangerous situations.
I mean, I'm not going to bring up taking the knee and all that. I'm not going to bring it up because you're broad stiff with it, I'm sure. But I am going to say that you probably will, if this all goes ahead like everybody's threatening at the moment on social media, there would be no point in sending the officers in unprepared. They would need to be in riot gear. And people will then say, oh, that's very provocative. Well, it's not provocative if people behave themselves.
Well, we've got very highly trained, very restrained officers, and we've got obviously specialists around public order. And our commanders, those are the officers that I represent, make those judgment calls. They're highly trained. They know at which point with crowd dynamics they may have to introduce officers who have got more protective equipment. And that's based on intelligence. It's based on what they see, the reporting from local officers, etc. And it's a really difficult judgment call. And I think a lot of people, you know, sometimes reflect on what's happened and make judgment calls. But, you know, sometimes these officers are making split-second decisions. And they're highly trained. They know what they're doing. and they will make the appropriate judgment call to make sure that everybody can peacefully protest.
But where were they on Saturday in London? Because, you know, they had to get the horses out, but there were no police with, you know, any protection on. They were unprotected, the police there.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, circumstances and crowd dynamics can change very quickly in terms of the way matters are policed, you know, and it was quite appalling in terms of the number of officers that were injured in that particular incident. But there are incidents all over the country that where protests were taking place where there were no injuries and it passed peacefully.
But there didn't seem to be any around the corner. There's normally a van of, you know, protected officers around the corner in case it does get a bit, you know, violent, but there didn't seem to be.
I mean, I can't go into the intricacies of the actual policing operation because I actually don't know the full details. But I do know that they're very highly trained, particularly in London, dealing with these sort of situations. But they can change the situation and circumstances can change so quickly. And you rely on, you know, good command decisions and good officers on the ground. And they are highly trained and very restrained in terms of their behaviour.
Paul Griffith, President of the Police Superintendent Association.
The James Whale Show. Come praise the whale on Talk Radio.
Let's talk to Councillor Vicky Slade, leader of the Bournemouth Christchurch and Poole Council, where the statue is, and see what she thinks. Vicky, good evening.
Good evening.
How are you? I think I've seen you in the media quite a bit today.
Oh, I've had a busy old day.
Have you enjoyed it? That's the main thing.
No, I have not. It's been awful.
Why?
I've had the most horrible abuse sent at my house. My children have been made to cry by people saying those vile things on the telly, down the phone. My husband has to protect me from a lynch mob. When actually
what
we're trying to do is protect the statue from the idiots that want to take it down.
The rule of the mob,
Just before we... We talk about that. What kind of threats have you actually had, Vicky?
Oh, well, I haven't had threats. I've had abuse. I've had phone calls to my house all day from all over the country. I've had people phoning up when my children have answered the phone and said, my mummy's on the phone. They've said, your mother is a bleep, 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 and put the phone down. My children have been left in tears over it because they're only answering the phone because I'm trying to deal with other things.
I mean, these people don't realise that they are just like the people they are apparently complaining about. They're behaving in exactly the same way.
Yeah, it's, you know, I totally understand people's frustration, you know, and this has only happened because a website went up putting all these topple the racist list of places to go and topple these statues. And I've actually seen tweets from people in this area who have been promoting this and saying, let's go down and tear this statue down. I mean, it's utterly disgraceful. It's using the Black Lives Matter thing, which we all support completely.
Absolutely.
It's using it as a means.
Well, actually, I support all lives matter. Every life matters, Vicky.
Well, that's a different conversation, isn't it? Because some people say, you know, that's like saying I support all animals when it's a Save the Whales campaign. I understand that at the moment there's a particular issue about how, you know, how people in ethnic minorities feel about a lot of things. And I'm absolutely comfortable with the fact that, you know, perhaps they need more representation and they need people to be speaking up for them. But you don't do that by jumping on the bandwagon and finding every historic figure that you don't agree with threatening to chuck it in the river.
Yeah. We are talking, in the main, and I hate to, this sounds very racist, but in the main, a lot of these people are white.
I know. Well, I mean, I know who the main protagonist in this area is, and she's not black. So, you know, she is speaking for other people who are not saying themselves. I had a phone call earlier on from a young Jewish man who said to me, apparently, Lord Baden-Powell was anti-Semitic and a friend of Hitler. I'm okay with the fact that that statue stays there, and I'm the Jewish person. And I'm like, that's great, because I'm okay with it too. But I want to make sure that overnight we don't get swastikas painted on it by these idiots.
Well, hold on, was he mates with Hitler? Did he like Hitler?
Yeah,
allegedly.
It's not very nice, is it?
Well, no.
Yeah, but,
obviously.
You know, I mean, we've all had dodgy friends in the past.
Well, that's pretty dodgy, though, isn't it? But what other things?
Go on.
I think the point is that you can't judge someone on everything they do. You've got to have a balance, haven't you?
No, but I think... Vicky, hang on. I think actually some of the stuff that Baden-Powell is reported to have been up to are pretty disgusting. Whether they're true, I don't know. I haven't looked into it. But, you know, a lot of historians will tell you it is.
Well, if it's found out to be true, would you then support his statue being taken down?
Perhaps what you should do is remove the statue and put it in a museum with the true full history of him there to be read.
Well, the interesting thing is, right, that Paul has some huge affinity with the Scout movement. So, you know, there is an opportunity here for us to say, let's look at the Scout movement, let's look at it in its entirety, and you actually look at Baden-Powell as an element of that. But actually, you also look at all the great things it's done since his death in 1941 and the growth of it to almost every country in the world, which is colourblind.
Well, that had nothing to do with him, actually.
No,
to be honest, Vicky.
It didn't. No. But actually, he's an element of the Scout movement. And I think that what people are getting mixed up with is they're so committed to the Scout movement that they've got quite upset. And we've actually got people now camping out either side of the statue to make sure that nobody goes for the statue overnight.
Vicky, good to talk to you. Thank you very much indeed, Councillor Vicky Slade, leader of the Bournemouth, Christchurch and Poole Council.
The James Whale Show. Come praise the whale on Talk Radio.
Let's talk to Dr. Joe Mulholland, head of Hope Not Hate. He joins us now. Doctor, good evening to you.
Mulhull.
Mulhull. Oh, right. I beg your pardon. Yeah. Now... Your concern with this possible conflict in London over the weekend. Tell me your side.
Yeah, sure. I mean, part of our job is to monitor the far right around the United Kingdom, and a number of far right figures, including Stephen Yaxley Lennon, better known as Tommy Robinson, and some of the groups like Britain First, have called a big demonstration in London on Saturday, supposedly or ostensibly to defend the statues in central London against Black Lives Matter demonstrations. But actually, in reality, a lot of the rhetoric we're picking up is about attacking Black Lives Matter, even talking about pulling down the Mandela statue, which is picking up a lot of that from the far right. And so it's a very febrile and tense situation that we could be facing on Saturday.
What are the best thing to do to ignore them completely and have a peaceful demonstration somewhere and not go up against them? Because if you go up against them and you've got people who join your demonstration who you don't know, who might just want to be out there for a fight, it's not really going to solve anything or do anything good, is it?
Yeah, I mean, just to be clear, Hope Not Hate have called no demonstration whatsoever. We're not involved in the demonstration. There's two separate things happening here. The far right and football hooligan gangs have called a demonstration in central London. And then there is a completely separate Black Lives Matter demonstration, which has been called well in advance of that, which is happening in a different part of London. So I would agree with you in the sense that this is a group of football hooligans and far right activists intent on trouble coming into central London to be violent, many of them with long histories of violence and racism. And yeah, I agree. I don't think that there is a huge advantage in kind of turning out to meet them or anything like that at this moment. I think there should be separate events, absolutely.
Why haven't they separated it, though, the police?
They are supposedly in different areas.
It should be different times, though.
It wouldn't make any difference, would it, really? I mean, what worries me is, on both sides, there are people looking for a bit of a punch-up because they want to tell everybody they've got justice on their side. And, you know, the only justice is that people are treated fairly in this society. And I know that your organisation, I believe, feels that the police are out to sort of cause violence. Well,
No, I mean, I Hope Not Hate haven't come out and said that we think the police are going to cause violence. We've actually said that we hope that the police take this threat of the far right extremely seriously on Saturday and do their best to police it in a way that means that the far right are separated and aren't allowed to cause the violence and trouble that they often do. What's important to say here is that, like, the Black Lives Matter demonstrations that we've seen over the past few weeks have overwhelmingly been peaceful. Most of them have been enormous, and there has been some elements of trouble which lots of people have condemned. But this is not about...
Well, yeah, you know, 35 police officers in hospital is not really a good look, is it?
Just to be absolutely clear, I mean, Hope Not Hate is not calling a demonstration. It's not...
No, I know you're not. I'm just trying to explore. You know, even saying we're going to go and pull down statues, or, as I said before, telling people, you know, Kids now arguing between each other, being told, well, if you braid your hair or you do exercises to make your bum bigger, that's racial appropriation. I mean, this is all just getting too stupid, to be honest.
But I think actually part of the problem is that some of those examples you're mentioning now, I mean, it's just completely missing the point of this debate that's been happening at the moment. We've actually got a really exciting moment here where we're talking about Britain's history, where we're talking about major issues like racial oppression and structural oppression in British society. And it's the wrong time to be reducing it down to some kid in the playground has said something.
But it's been hijacked
This is where it happens, and the young people are getting the wrong idea, and where they may not have had any kind of racial thoughts before, they're going to end up getting them like this, and that's the problem I have. So threatening statues, I agree. Listen, there are loads of statues I think should be not there, but that pulling them down is not the way to go, okay? It really isn't, because if I decide I don't like something, I'm trying to think of some left-wing person I wouldn't want to see a statue of. I say, right, I don't think we should have that. We'll get some people together of same feeling and go and pull it down. This is not the way society works.
OK, but surely we can agree on something here, which is, I mean, there is different ways to bring down statues. I mean, Sadiq Khan has talked about introducing a way where they bring together, you know, affected communities, historians. We have a debate about what should come down, and there's more democratic means about it. And that's something that should be really welcomed and exciting. But surely we can all agree on the fact that in 2020, the idea that people of colour have to walk past the statue of a slave trader is not acceptable.
Thank you very much indeed, sir, because you will have started a debate, Joe. Thank you for that.
The James Whale Show. Come Praise the Whale on Talk Radio.
That was the clips for today. The worst of Whale, or sorry, the best of James Whale. Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed them. Well, I suppose if you didn't enjoy them, you won't be listening, will you? Anyway, I'll be back 7 o'clock until 10, Monday to Friday on Talk Radio. Have a great day. Thank you for listening.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.